Yeah, we're starting a new series this morning called Kingdom Risk Takers. Anybody like taking risk? Anybody a risk taker? A little bit? Anyone used to be a risk taker? And then some risk told you not to be a risk taker? I don't know. Yeah, we're not talking about jumping off of cliffs this morning. I want to talk about risk taking, but not in just like, hey, let's get a squirrel suit and jump off a cliff, or let's just do something crazy just for craziness. Jesus, when modeling a prayer to his earlier followers, said in the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we don't want to just be taking random risk as followers of Christ. We want to be taking kingdom risk, advancing God's kingdom, furthering God's kingdom, bringing God's kingdom in us and through us to places that maybe we have yet to go. There are people in our families, in our friends groups, coworkers, on our campuses, and in our communities who have yet to know the love of Jesus. And we have the opportunity to share that. Is anyone excited about being a risk taker this morning? Going out? Come on. All right. If you're excited for God, it has to connect then into the heartbeat of God. Lord, I want to go advance your kingdom. It's not a static kind of, Lord, I want to love you and stay the same forever. Our vision here at New Hope Community Church is that we would grow together towards maturity in Christ. And in order to do that, we really do need to have a step out in faith, take a risk into maybe places we have yet to go. And what we're hoping in this series is that for some, maybe you're exploring Christianity. Maybe taking that risk would really just be trusting God fully, having that faith that, God, I want to own you as my Lord and Savior daily. For those who maybe know Christ, maybe it's really letting Christ be in you and stepping out relationally a little bit deeper. All of us have relationships, connections, people that we know. And maybe for some of us, like, Lord, I just want to be a little bit more bold for Christ. I want to take a little step. Or maybe for some of you, you might be encouraged to take a really big step. And the third thing is, for some of us, maybe we want to take a risk for the Lord to meet people we have never met before, to step out and care for people we have yet to meet, whether that's locally, on the campuses, or maybe it's even a worldwide level. So we're going to be talking about risk-taking from a kingdom perspective, prioritizing gospel living and gospel sharing. So before I get into risk and taking risks and examples we see in scripture and modern day and ways we can do that practically, I wanted to talk kind of like about the arena for where we're taking risk when within. And I want to talk about preparation or preparing for kingdom risk. And that's what I entitled this morning's message. We'll be looking in a moment at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. So you can turn there if you like. I'll also have the words up here. As you're preparing for risk, it's good to know what's required. And in a moment, we're going to look over some of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church at Ephesus, some things to be equipped with. But as I was thinking of equipping, I was thinking of sports. Anybody a huge sports fan? Yeah? All right, they got like 8 people in the house. Great. Awesome. Rock it out. I'm actually not a huge sports fan, but I think biblical spiritual principles and sport illustrations. Those are just the way I think. So I might mess up my illustrations, but we'll see. So let's talk about sports. So if I'm talking about playing basketball with a bowling ball and wearing ice skates, just bear with me. Don't do that. That could be dangerous for everyone involved. I want to talk about equipment. A couple weeks ago, after not really doing much personally with cardio or exercise for a while, I decided, hey, I'll join a soccer tournament. I'll go play soccer and just see what happens. So I need to buy some equipment because I just didn't have any more anymore that wasn't like holes. So I got some cleats, got some shin guards, got some socks. You know, I was gearing up. Anyone ever wish that you could just buy cardio? Like that was an option at the sporting? Like, yeah, why don't you sell cardio and like heart strength and lung power? But unfortunately, that wasn't there. So anyways, I joined the soccer tournament playing with some local believers and non-believers in the area down on Colton. And yeah, when I was younger, I used to play soccer all the time. What you do is you just put on equipment and go play. Now I was playing in a 30-year-old plus league, and things are a little bit different. You don't just get up there and play. During games, you share ibuprofen, you share Biofreeze. I'm not used to all that. I was kind of laughing because there are some folks that are a little bit older than me. I'm like, wow, you guys are using this like between every game. But then I remembered I brought the Biofreeze and I also brought the ibuprofen. So I got to help out a lot of older brothers and sisters, which was great. But we want to put on the right equipment for the right game. We also want to realize, like in a game of soccer, there is an opposing team. In many team sports, you go out, there is opposition to be faced. It would be incredibly boring if you went out on a soccer field with only one team, right? You score 1 point, 2 points, 10 points, 20 points, 50, or 100. It's like, oh, it's just a piece of cake. And it would be silly to act like there is no team when in reality, there is a team that's opposing. And I want to talk a little bit about what the Apostle Paul will be talking about, that there is an opposing team against us in the spiritual realm, an enemy that seeks to want to distract and discourage and try to destroy the work of God. And I want to look at what's a healthy perspective of that to realize that there is an opposing team that's invisible, but that we have a victory that is greater in Jesus. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he's writing from house arrest in Rome. He was thrown in house arrest because he was passionate for the gospel. And I so appreciate Jamila's in-person just testimony living that out, that even when Christ, there's opposition, Christ is still worthy a cause to even be persecuted for. So let's look at Paul. He's writing encouragement to these early churches when they face great difficulty. So three things we're going to look at in a moment. And first, I want to start with the scripture. So let's start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the victory we have in your son, Jesus. God, would you speak life through us and in us, encourage us and challenge us to look more and more like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So three things I want to look at from this passage this morning, which I'll just list quickly. For preparing for kingdom risk, we want to look at three things. We want to fight from victory, put on the equipment, and pray at all times, and I'll expound on that more. So let's start with the first one. I want to fight from victory right off the first two verses. A couple of things that Paul is highlighting to early Christians, that they're going to face opposition. He's not just talking about physical. He's really talking about spiritual opposition. Points in life where things are just hitting really, really hard. And maybe you can think about times in your life where like, yeah, everything's just getting crushed at the same time. And for some, you're actually there this morning. You're like, I'm getting hit from multiple sides. And maybe you haven't even thought, maybe there's a spiritual component to this. Well, Paul's actually elevating the focus. Don't get lost on like necessarily physical things only. The spiritual battle is actually the real battle. It's the real fight. A couple things here. Our strength and our power source is God. It's not our own. What a relief, right? If you're going to be fighting against an opposing spiritual team, it's good to know that, wow, we're doing it in God's strength and not our own. And that's a great reminder. The kind of equipment is God-given and spiritual. We'll look at that a little bit more in a moment. Our true opposition is spiritual, oftentimes, because we only can see in the physical, right? We just look at the physical things. But Paul's inviting the early Christians, look into the spiritual, see what's happening. And there's an opposing leader that Paul's referring to, is the devil. And I want to just make clear when we're talking about the devil, because sometimes we can get some misguided ideas about the devil. If you look at like photos or in videos, sometimes you'll see like a picture of the devil arm wrestling God. Anyone ever see that? Kind of like it's a cosmic struggle. I wonder who's going to win. Devil's super strong. God's super strong. It's the ultimate like showdown or something. Well, the devil's origin, he was created by God. He was an angel. So he's not an eternal being like God. God's the only eternal being. So he's a created angel. He decided that being around God, which is just good enough, he wanted to actually be God himself. And so actually God cast him out of heaven with a third of the other angels that followed him, and they decided to go like, hey, this is what we're going to do. So when I want to talk about the devil, he's not an opposing power that's at the same might. He's an angel, just one angel that decided to fall. Are you with me this morning? Because sometimes you see it, it's like, oh man, God's here, but oh, the devil's so strong, you just don't know who's going to win. Okay, it gets really good. The devil's already defeated, and we're about to get into that. Not only is he just a created being, an angel who's fallen, who has limited power on this world, but he is a defeated foe. I want to talk about it a little bit more. So our opposition is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's good to know this reminder that if you're taking out kingdom risks and stepping out in faith this week or starting today or Monday and really moving out, I kind of see this Sunday meeting kind of like a huddle, and let's just go play all week. Anyone with me? Right? Yeah, it's not just we're just here just to get like, oh, let's receive more information and think about it. It's really, Lord, how can we receive what you have for us this morning? How we can go live this out this afternoon? God, how can I bring this to my family? How can I bring this to my friends? How can I bring this to my coworkers, my classmates? Monday, new professors I'll meet. God, I want to be part of playing during the week. So there is an opposing force. The leader is the devil, but he is a defeated foe. Jesus has already defeated him on the cross when he died and was raised 3 days later. Anyone excited about that? Right? Amen. He's a defeated foe, which means that when we fight in this opposition, the spiritual warfare we can face, we're doing it from a place of victory. We're not fighting for victory. You'll never see this in a sporting event. You always are fighting for victory, right? 0-0. Let's see who's going to win. Imagine just having an infinite number with zero, and that's the only point value, right? I don't bet, but if you're betting, that'd be a great game to bet on. Win every time, right? The defeating opponent does not have any points. Jesus has completely won on our behalf. So we do not need to fear the devil. We do not need to worry about him, but we do have to acknowledge that he has some limited power as he is playing. So when you wake up in the morning, even if your life is crushing and burdened and overwhelmed, know that you have already won. The greatest victory might not just be making your bed in the morning, which I struggle with, right? And then going from there to face real challenges. You already have victory, which means not only do we have victory in Christ, and it's not just like stand firm in Christ and get beat up by the devil. No, it's like stand firm in the victorious person of Jesus. You can stand up in the morning and get up in the morning, know that Jesus, I am victorious. Even if every other circumstance in your life is telling you you are failing and losing, be like, God, at least I know I can stand in your victory. Are you with me this morning? That we have victory in Jesus, which means we also have joy. If you are in Christ and been born in Christ and have new life in him, it means not only do you have access to God fully because of what Christ has done, but we have a beautiful future ahead of us. In Christ, it only gets better forward. Even if life goes terrible, even if you were killed for your faith, heaven's for all of eternity. Right? I was reading a devotional this week that talks about how many Christians, I've been there myself before, we can live so underjoyed. Well, because of Jesus, we should be living overjoyed, right? We have victory in Christ. We are loved by our Heavenly Father who created stars and created you and has given you a purpose, and he's going to be bringing that purpose about, and we have eternity with heaven. Man, I'm excited. Even if health tells me I shouldn't be, even if finances aren't there, if relationships are breaking down, know that you can face each of those challenges not from a place of defeat, but a place from victory in Jesus. We want to fight from victory. We need to remember that. If we think we're fighting for victory, that we're doing something that Jesus has already done, and we'll also do it on our own strength. Remember, do it on God's strength. Remember, he's already done all the heavy lifting. We just need to walk that out. And in this place, Paul's writing, when things of opposition come, just stand. Stand in God's power, stand in his strength. So let's go on to the next part. Put on the equipment. We're going to go through this a little bit quicker, but I want to look at some of the things that Paul's writing about. As I was reading some commentaries, they're saying maybe Paul was looking at the soldier. He was under house arrest, so there's a soldier right there with him. Maybe he was looking at his outfit and using that as kind of an illustration. Or maybe he was just thinking of the Roman soldiers and what they were wearing. But he goes through and kind of puts on some examples and reminders using armor. So let's look at the equipment. First thing he mentions is put on the truth, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The reminder of, God, I want to know your truth each and every day, and I want that to be securing what will be being worn and what the Roman soldier will be wearing. God, I want truth to be the secure component that wraps and puts everything together, holds it together. Goes on and said, breastplate of righteousness in place. This would have been going from like the neck, like almost all the way down to the thighs. It would be covering the core of the heart. But God, I want to put your righteousness on in the morning. And you can go through if you want in the morning, kind of remember these things. You also can just kind of make sure, like, hey, God, I want to make sure that I'm focusing on these attributes of these things each day. God, help me not to forget. Once again, if we already have the victory in Christ, we don't actually have to do something new. We just have to remember something true that God's already told us. So let's remember God's truth each and every day. The next one is shoes of your feet, putting on, it's kind of like these boots. Some of these boots actually would have like spikes on them for Roman soldiers, but being ready with the gospel of peace. Even though Paul's affirmation several times is to stand several times in this passage, there are opportunities to move forward. And when there's an attack coming, it's like, get ready, get equipped, let's get ready to go. Number four is one I've often reflected on in my life, is the shield of faith. Meaning that there's going to be times where the enemy spiritually is attacking or wanted to attack us. So it's not like, oh, in Christ, there's just going to be no difficulties. That's another thought process. If I know Jesus, everything's going to be really easy. Actually, it might be on the contrary. There'll be times of difficulty, suffering, persecution. But even the early followers would say, hey, I have great joy for suffering, to be able to suffer like my Savior, Jesus Christ. But the shield of faith, I love it. It says, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Isn't that awesome? Not like most of them, or maybe some of them, but a faith in who Christ is and a faith in action. Most commentaries don't distinguish between the two. It's faith component together. But a faith lived out that, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and even in a situation that tells me I shouldn't trust you. I'm going to still live for you and have faith in your promises, in your truth, even when life circumstances are hitting me. And man, if I'm facing a spiritual attack, and if you're in a place of discernment, realizing I think the enemy's just coming against me, man, I'm going to hold that shield of faith. And I'm just going to trust that the Lord, you're going to shield me from this. And that's exactly what Paul is writing here through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing is the helmet of salvation. That this helmet of salvation, it would be the guard against the head for head blows, but it's Christ's salvation. Daily, we need to remember, if we're going to be taking kingdom risks, wow, our salvation has to be remembered and preached to ourselves before we ever live it out. I was in a young adults Bible study this week, and one of the guys there was just saying, man, I just want to share the gospel with myself every day so I can remember the goodness and the gift of Jesus. I like the way that was worded. Remember it every day. If we forget the gospel, we oftentimes can start acting more like civilians in warfare. Kind of going about, maybe making up a little camp, having fun, make a little house, do whatever. Just kind of like, I'm just going to go through life real easy. But if we forget, there's a spiritual warfare. There's lives that are hanging in the balance for eternity that have yet to know the truth, the new life of Jesus, to know the new hope. God, I do not want to wake up as a civilian, Lord. Help me to wake up as a spiritual warrior, spiritual men and women warriors who want to move forward. The only offensive piece is the last one. The sword of the Spirit, which Paul explains is the word of God. You might remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil himself in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. His offensive component wasn't like a lightning bolt against the devil, which would have been cool, right? It's like the devil's like, did God, bam, just hit him with lightning. He didn't do that. He actually quoted from an Old Testament book from Deuteronomy several times to defend and just push the devil back. How important would it be for you and I to know God's word in our heart? I know some of you just love memorizing scripture, but to know God's word, when the enemy's attacking and saying things, God, I want to be able to push forward, push through to things of you, but God, I want to do it with your word, not my ideas, but know God's word. Put it in your heart, be ready. An example of a victory that seems super unlikely in the Old Testament You can be found in 1 Samuel 17. Many know this story, but I wanted to share it as an example, how God's able to do the seemingly impossible when we trust in him and step out in faith. A young man who stepped out in faith was David. David, to make a story really short, came to a battle scene where the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, or were supposed to be, and really they were just at like these two ridges with a valley, no one's doing anything, because there's this really big dude called the Goliath. A lot of you know this story. And he was just chanting and making fun of the people of God, and nobody would step up. So David decided, like, hey, I'll do that. And so the kings of the time, Saul's like, hey, you can take my armor. And so this is a little children's book, but David's putting on some armor. He realizes, hey, I haven't tested this. I haven't proved that this is actually what I need to be using. I'm actually going to go out with what I know, what I have tested. So David goes out and he gets a couple stones. He picks up five of them by the river. He was a shepherd. He cared for his sheep, and God had used him mightily to spare his sheep once from attack of a lion and from a bear. David has some pretty cool references in the past to pull on. Here's a new giant, but God, you've done this before. So he goes up to the Goliath. He throws this rock through his sling, which, you know, problematically, and just seeing, you know, Goliath is super armored. He's like 9 feet tall or something like that. The idea of a stone to kill a giant warrior seems very improbable. But David wasn't relying on just physical might alone. He was relying on the power of his God, and we also want to do the same. David said this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. We don't face like actual warrior giants. That would be pretty scary if we were. But we can face spiritual giants, oppositions, things that are difficult. And I'd love David's risk-taking posture. Literally, a little shepherd boy going against an armored shoulder, a soldier, and trusting in God's victory instead of his own. If God can work the same way in David's life, I believe that God can work the same way in your life and my life. Amen? Trusting in his strength, not our own. David's essentially going out with invisible armor. God, I am trusting in you and your promises more than the opposition that I physically see. The last point, which I'll go through, is we need to pray at all times. This isn't listed as an armor per se, but it's listed several times right afterwards. We want to engage in the spiritual realm, see our family, our friends, our members come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We got to realize that we need to engage spiritually. Pray for open hearts, pray for open minds, opportunities, divine appointments, breakthroughs in the spiritual realm, tuning into the Holy Spirit so that we can then go out and interact with those that God's leading us to. When it comes to kingdom risk-taking, it's not just like, let's just do whatever and see what happens. Let's tune into the voice of God. So when he asks us, hey, go talk to your neighbor this week. Let's go talk to our neighbor this week. Go talk to your classmate this week. Let's take a risk. And for some of us, that's a big risk, having those kind of relationships, especially in a culture when most millennials are more comfortable with being on a tablet or a cell phone than interacting in person, especially in an area where many of our senior citizens are in great places of isolation. It can sometimes be hard to take that, just in the normal, take that kind of risk. But with God, we know all things are possible. Paul makes the point that we should be praying all the times in the Spirit. It's not like something we do just once in a while before a meal, or it's really good to do it before a service too. But at all times, Lord, we want to be able to be tuned into you, talking and listening. And we want to be praying for other brothers and sisters. Paul invites prayer for himself, that he would boldly proclaim fearlessly the gospel. And as he's writing this, he's literally in chains for sharing the gospel. What a perspective, right? I mean, he's writing an encouragement kind of battle cry to the early Christians while literally being chained, possibly to a soldier at the same moment, being like, I want to fearlessly proclaim Christ regardless of my circumstances. We face opposition at all times in our life. Some things are just we see in the physical, but let's be wise that, Lord, there is a spiritual battle, and let's engage in it. As I wrap up, a couple of thoughts. I was talking with one of our missionaries this past week, Jean Coles, and she's an intercessor. She prays on behalf of God for others, and something that she's noticed, I know other people have noticed, in the North Country, there's a lot of people that deal with shame. that I'm not loved by God or can't be loved by others. And that shame keeps people stuck in a place of brokenness, a place of addiction, a place of just being kind of crumbled in. And I was thinking, in the spiritual realm, wouldn't it be great if we were actively praying as a church for that shame barrier to break? Right? And I know for some of us, I know we're struggling with shame. It's like, oh man, there's stuff that happens that maybe is public or private, I don't know, and that's just, it's just laying on heavy. Well, I want you to let you know that God tremendously loves you. He cares about you. He created you. He wants to break you free from shame. His purposes are not to condemn you, which maybe the devil's telling you that lie. God just wants to condemn you. If you let people know what you're going through and the brokenness and the extent, you'll be destroyed. That's not God's plan. He actually, like a good surgeon, wants to bring healing to a broken life. So before we engage in bringing shame, freedom to others, it's good to ask, Lord, could you free me if you're struggling with that? But engaging in that spiritually. My wife and I have been praying for on and off for weeks or months. It's been heavy on our hearts. It's just families. Just families being under attack. Marriages getting hit and just staying, maybe just operating independently of each other, or children really suffering, having difficulty with things. And it's not just locally. I think it's just kind of like probably even nationally. But Lord, could we pray, God, that, yeah, that husbands and wives would love each other as Christ has loved them, that they would, as a team, work together to care for their families, that we would see children rise up who would love the Lord and, like little warriors of faith, proclaim them wherever they are. I would encourage you, spend time praying. Ask God, Lord, what are the places in the spiritual realm that I need to engage in prayer? And then go actively take new kingdom territory for you this week. So ask the Lord, where can I step out this week? Where can you take a kingdom risk of faith? If you're on campus, it's a great place to go. For students, you'll interact with people that no one else has the opportunity to interact with. At your workplace, maybe there's new relationships you can connect with. Maybe there's current relationships that you're just like, hey, I want to reach out with. I thought Courtney was a great example of wanting to introduce her coworker to Alpha. That takes risk. It does. He's like, this is going to be awkward. I don't know. But then once you see that the goal and prize is so worth the uncomfortable conversation sometimes, man, I really want this person to know the love of Jesus. Not just to attend a church. That's just like attending a church. I want them to have a new relationship in Jesus. For some, maybe it's your neighbors. I feel like the Lord's been putting on that on my heart pretty strong. I need to reach out to my neighbors. Or for some, maybe it's your neighbor's field because you don't see any of your neighbors. Maybe it's while running errands, just being ready to go. But let's remember that, yeah, let's not act like civilians in a spiritual warfare. Let's engage and be equipped daily so we can take the risk that God's calling us out to be. This morning, I'm just going to close in prayer. We kind of had a couple neat opportunities this morning, so it's right at ending time. So we're not going to finish with a song, but I do want to finish with a prayer. After the prayer, there's going to be an opportunity for prayer teams up here. If you like prayer for anything, we love to pray for you and care for you anyway, any needs. So let's take a moment to pray and receive before we close the service. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you loved us so much. Thank you that you came to this planet to live and to die for our sins, for our brokenness, to free us from the penalty of sin, to set us free from shame, fear, guilt, condemnation, and to give us new life with new purpose. And Lord, I just want to pray for those here first. If any of us are struggling with specifically shame this morning, I just encourage you, quietly, just give that to the Lord. Be honest, God, I am struggling right now with this. Lord, I want freedom. I want healing. God has come to give us freedom, and he's come as our healer. Just ask the Lord, God, I want to be free. And Lord, I pray for families here this morning. God, I pray for your blessing over moms and dads and husbands and wives. Lord, I pray that those who are feeling discouraged this morning could be encouraged through your Holy Spirit. Pray for broken places to be made whole. God, thank you that you don't cast us out when we fall down and trip. Just like a teammate when it falls, we want to lift that teammate back up and keep playing. Help us, Lord, to care well for those who are hurting. And Lord, I pray for our community and our campuses and countries around the world, Lord. places of brokenness. God, we pray that we would be able to bring new hope to those who are dealing with shame and a whole host of other things, that they could know the love of Jesus that would set them free. Help us, Lord, to not stay stagnant in our walk with you, to lose the joy of being part of remembering and sharing your salvation. Help us, God, to be kingdom risk takers for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.